Yeah, so I guess it's been a little bit of a hiatus since last time we covered one of these. I think it was in maybe December?
November 13th,
2021. Oh, wow. That's a long time.
Oh, well, that was the one that was...
Wait a second. How are y'all doing the math?
Yeah, I'm confused.
Is that when we did the last...
All Monster Attack. Whoops. Mulligan.
Oh, okay.
I have the dates on my phone, actually, if I do a little digging.
Oh, sure.
But continue.
But yeah, it's been a while, and I'm happy to be back, but I don't know if I'm necessarily happy to be back to cover Godzilla against Mechagodzilla, because, yeah, I've seen this one a lot, but it's never been a particular favorite. I'm curious to hear what you guys are going to say, but...
Why did you see it a lot?
I put on Godzilla movies just all the time, just in the background, just kind of watch them.
Mm-hmm.
So I've probably seen this one, you know, 6 or 7 times, just playing it without fully paying attention to it.
Oh, I thought there was maybe a reason you pulled this one out more than other ones.
I do actually pull this one out more than most of the Millennium era, but just because I have it on Blu-ray.
Oh, okay.
So I'll be like, oh, I want to put one on. Yeah, all the other Millennium ones I have are on DVD. Oh, except for Godzilla, Mothra, and King Ghidorah, because that's in the same pack as this Godzilla against Mechagodzilla.
It was,
so I watch those two more often than the other ones.
It was January 10th, by the way, that we did Godzilla the Planet Eater.
Oh, okay. So yeah, a little bit of a hiatus, but I'm happy to be back either way, and I'm especially happy to see what the randomizer is going to give us at the end. But before then, I guess we all have to go to timestamp 0, if you guys are there.
I am now queued up.
Sure, yeah, we'll hit play in 3, 2, 1, play. Toho Company Limited. There we go. Still the old logo.
Right.
So for you, Eric, when you were going through all these movies, did you manage to get to this one, or was this like after you stopped?
No. So Megaguirus was the previous, correct? In the chronology?
Two before this one.
Oh, it was two before?
Yeah, it was GMK that was before this one. Yeah.
Crap, what's GMK?
That's Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, giant monsters all at attack.
Okay. That was the last one I watched, GMK.
Oh.
And it was, I don't remember when exactly, but it was like in the last 6 months. Because I had taken a long hiatus from my previous binge, or not binge, but marathon. And GMK might have been my first of trying to get back into it. And that was sometime in the last 6 months or something. And so I've never seen this. This would have been the next one for me to watch.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and this one, like all the other Millennium films, was once again just a reboot, just erasing all of the other Godzilla movies except for that first one.
But
so
weirdly erases other Godzilla movies, but includes other kaiju movies and makes them canon, at least canon as it pertains to this movie. Whatever.
Yeah, it's very strange. And even more odd is the next movie after this, Tokyo SOS, is a direct sequel to this and a direct sequel to the original Mothra movie. It ties into that movie a fuck ton.
Right.
So very strange. I'm not sure what was going on at that time, but
oh, God.
It's weird stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even want to say anything. It just... I'm sure there's something comparable in U.S. media. I just can't think what it is.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if there's ever been a franchise where I think it was 4 or 5 installments in a row of just rebooting each time back to one film. Except for maybe Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I think that's the only one.
Maybe like Halloween or something. Maybe Halloween, you know, did like its, you know, out of universe films and then got back into it. And I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, that could be comparable too. But for you, Isaac, I'm assuming this was your first time seeing this one.
I would say that potentially a few years ago, Batman and or anything in the DCEU, that would have been the closest thing potentially for reboots. Don't throw that on me, but I'm just like guessing right there.
I'll just quickly point out this guy who's on screen right here. That's one of the he was a big regular in the Heisei era. I forget his name, Takahiro something. But so this is his cameo just being like, hey, you know, here I am again, showing up.
Yeah, I recognize his face. And I figured that's what was going on. He also looks like a character in Big Trouble in China, but that's just me being racist.
Whoa.
Yeah, and there's a couple other little cameos I'll point out as we go along, but back to you, Isaac. Sorry.
Yeah, I assume that there was a lot of like, I was looking for the mainstays, the recurring actors who are in the series. I'd also say comparably, Gundam is like this as well. Sometimes I'd say where like it'll go into different timelines and then it'll be like, hey, this is a sequel to that randomly. It's like, whoa, yes. Where'd that come from?
That is very true, for sure. I even feel that way about some of the Transformer cartoons, but I don't want to have that conversation again.
That I would almost go there, but I'd say no, because those have at least like, and same with TMNT, for instance, those like both have, they're mostly on television sometimes. They at least have like television shows going on. I'd say maybe the Spider-Man cartoons, potentially. I was going to like say Spider-Man movies, but it's like Spider-Man cartoons, potentially. Just because you had like you had like Spider-Man and Friends back in like the eight. Well, yeah, okay, you had the 60s show, then the Spider-Man and Friends. But there is time gap there. It's not like this where, like Caleb was saying, there's this one, there's GMK, then there's Mega Gyrus. Then there's
Godzilla 2000.
There you go, Godzilla 2000. Thank you. So like,
and Final Wars.
And Final Wars, where they just like keep pumping them out.
Like I guess Final Wars was a sequel to everything. So yeah, no, not that one.
Yeah,
my bad.
No, that's fair.
But I was gonna say, I meant SOS. But for you, Isaac, yeah, with this, I'm assuming this is your first time seeing this one, right?
It is. Yes, it was my first time seeing it.
Yeah, and I guess it's the third Millennium one that we've done.
Yes.
So we did Final Wars.
Checking and... going back to our, or going into our archives, which, by the way, I like the change to the channel's profile picture.
Oh, you saw that.
I saw it. I give you a thumbs up for that one.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, but I guess we should talk a little bit about the plot here. So yeah, this is the second appearance of Godzilla, and I guess it's a new Godzilla, because they do very clearly say that the original one died.
Yes.
So, and a new appearance.
So it's not a son of God. Well, is it a son of Godzilla, or is it just like another part of the species?
That's what I think. Your second, what you said second.
Yeah, just another species one, yeah.
Another member of the species, I see. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting, actually, when we see the flashback, because they like shot some new footage, but it's not the same Godzilla design.
Oh, that flashback.
Interestingly enough. So it almost is like it's a separate species.
Right. And it also looks CG, but it wasn't CG.
Oh, I think it was, but I guess we'll wait till we get to it.
A source tells me it was an actual actor in a suit in that archival footage.
Interesting.
Well, newly shot, of course.
I see.
Oh, but I feel like I should mention, like I said, I did a little bit of background on this one. So this movie, it's the same director from Godzilla vs. Megadryas. And even though Megadryas was kind of a flop, it was not commercially or financially successful. They brought him back because GMK went like so far off into a direction that the producers were not happy with. So like, okay, we need to get someone that we can trust. Whatever this guy's name is, come back and see what you can do next. So this was kind of a back to basics kind of Godzilla movie. Which it's somewhat successful at. I think this is probably better than Megadryas, but it's not a very standout entry, I would say.
But it has a lot of similar elements.
Oh yes, it's almost a remake of Megadryas, really.
Right, and that's not. And there's, I can't think of it right. There's examples of American movies where they sort of made sequels that were sort of remakes at the same time. It's an odd phenomenon.
Force Awakens.
Okay, just stop. I'll accept Into Darkness, but I won't accept Force Awakens. But I get what you.
Oh, Into Darkness is the worst example. Yeah, terrible example. Direct like dialogue rips. Just oh god, that's so bad. Wow. But anyway.
Yeah, I can't tell whether or not. Remember how in Megadryas it had that whole alternate like worlds idea of like. What is it? We have clean. I forget what was it like. They have like clean energy or something like that, or nuclear power or something like that. And then they like, I don't remember what it was now, but they like
it's like a black hole device.
Something black, not the black hole device. It was after that, or it was before that, where like the city decided to like invest in like, was it wind turbines or something like that? It wasn't wind turbines.
Oh yeah, I don't remember.
They do that, and then like 20 minutes into the film, they just like kind of forget about it. And then the black hole device shows up and it's like, what was this? Like, what was this all about? And it's like never brought up again. I'm like,
since we saw the,
No, I'm done. You go ahead.
Just since we saw the opening there, the little Godzilla against Mechagodzilla thing. Because I just recently watched Godzilla versus Kong. I was so happy to see they kept that kind of style of logo. Surprised none of the other ones did it, but I was like, oh, wow, I completely forgot they did this. So.
Oh, you mean so the font size, I mean, the font style itself was brought over into King Kong versus Godzilla 2021?
Yep, Godzilla versus Kong. Yeah, it's a black screen, and then it has like just the logo with like light shining around it.
Very nice.
I was like, oh, wow, like, I completely forgot they did this.
Very nice.
Well, I can't remember who he was, the producer or whatever. I'm not sure. It wasn't the director. It was the guy who ever chose the director for this movie, because I was doing a little bit of fake research. And I guess he always considered the original Kong versus Godzilla as like his favorite of the classics. So he wanted this movie to be in that vein.
Mm.
He was a modern... Oh, something, like I said, something of the same feeling of that movie. Here's the looks like CG classic Godzilla, but this was actually a person in a suit.
Oh, weird. Yeah, maybe it's just the
newly shot.
Just the inserted element makes it look so wonky.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked kind of silly. Not great. Not great at all. But yeah, Shogo Tamiyama. I don't know how to say his name. Tamiyama? Yeah, he was definitely like this is aimed at kids now. We need to bring this back to like kind of like the later Showa era stuff. Like, at this point in the franchise, they were even pairing it up with Hamtaro animes.
Wait, what? Hamtaro?
Yeah, they would... This movie, GMK, and then Tokyo SOS all were released as a double feature with Hamtaro movies.
Oh my goodness.
Very strange. Very strange move.
Oh yeah, those movies never came here, that's why.
So here we are seeing all this archival footage that, like I said, they're making these certain other kaiju movies canonical in this universe.
Yeah, I think that was War of the Gargantuas. I've never seen that one, but I'm pretty sure that's what that was.
Yes, that was. That was.
Oh yeah, and both these people are also big Godzilla regulars.
Yeah, I was wondering that. What have they starred in, sir? Were they in the previous eras?
Yeah, this, the woman there, I believe is, let me quickly go through my list. That's Kumi Mizuno. Yeah, and she was in, going all the way back to, let me see here. She was in Invasion of the Astro Monster, War of the Gargantuas, like I just mentioned, and then she was in Godzilla vs. Sea Monster. And then she also shows up again in, Final Wars. And that guy there, I think he's the Prime Minister?
Well, first off, the girl, like the woman, is the Prime Minister, and then it like shifts to him being the Prime Minister.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, that guy was basically, he played like a recurring character in almost all of the Heisei films. So he was a big figure by this point.
And our female protagonist here, she was a model, I believe, prior to being cast in this role. And they said that actually in real life, she had a really bubbly, outgoing personality. But for the role, she plays this super dour, serious type that they said was nothing like how she is in real life.
Opposite personality. Oh. Perfect for her.
Yeah. I wish she would have brought more of that because, yeah, this character is so flat.
Sad. I mean, hopefully there's no Evangelion syndrome here, but...
Oh, I was going to say, it's like we're watching the animated series all over, or animated movies all over again when we start talking about flat, undeveloped characters.
Damn.
Let's put it this way. When I was watching this, there was a bit of, I was like, okay, I sort of see Earth in this a smidge.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Only because we deal with, also they brought the trilobites back. That's kind of funny. But it's just that, we have this woman here who's kind of like, I'm already forgetting his name.
Haruo?
Not Hiro? Yeah, Haruo. There, thank you. Haruo, in a way. Who's just got a lot of angst and a lot of chips on his shoulder because of, like, you know, not so much something he did, but something that's happened. In this case, you know, she's ridden by guilt of what she did to her comrades there, which I understand. I kind of would probably do the same thing myself. And then, of course, like, you know, they're trying to not clone Godzilla, but they're well, actually, that cloning part reminded me a bit of Godzilla versus King Kong 2021.
Sure.
A bit, just how that, except, no, obviously Godzilla was Ghidorah instead, at least his severed head, but still. And yeah, I don't know why, it just reminded me of the Earth trilogy in a bit.
Yeah, I don't necessarily see it, but I guess fair enough.
Wait, you don't see that? What he just said?
I mean, I guess I sort of see it. I wouldn't have thought of it
because it's like the soul. So in this movie, it's like the soul of the original Godzilla is brought back to life and resurrected, which is sort of what happened with Ghidorah in the new movie, because they were using the head or whatever.
Oh yes, okay, yeah. Yeah, for whatever reason, I didn't. My brain just didn't make the connection. Yeah.
No, thank you, Garrick. I didn't word that properly. My brain's not working today.
I only said it because I figured that out before. Like I said, I did a little bit of research before this.
I think I missed the 2021. I thought you said Godzilla versus King Kong, and I was trying to place, like, I don't remember that in that movie because I was thinking of the old.
Oh one. Yeah, no. He said the year.
That's why I tried to say 2020. Anyway, that's okay.
Yeah, I must miss that.
I love this guy's voice. I don't know why. This future prime minister, he's not prime minister yet, but I guess the aide to the prime minister, I love his voice. Like that is one great voice.
Yeah, somebody said that he's pulling out his anime voice. That's what a different reviewer said of this movie.
Yeah, and I finally found him in my list of Godzilla actors. Akira Nako? Nakao? I don't know how to say these names. I'm so bad at this. I should look up the pronunciations and just write it down phonetically for myself.
This stuff is wacky.
Yeah, some of this stuff just, I don't know if it fully connects.
It's about the effects, of course.
Yeah, the effects. For whatever reason, this one makes me think of Godzilla versus King Ghidorah from the 90s. I don't know if you remember that one, Eric. I'm not sure if there's a real plot connection, but just for whatever reason, this element just keeps making me think of that movie.
So these effects that we're seeing right now remind me of Fantastic Voyage if it was mixed in with really cheap CG from 2001.
Like the original, or if they made like a Fantastic Voyage in the 90s?
No, because it has a combination of those 60s Fantastic Voyage effects with the guys being on wires. And then when they showed like the crappy looking CG skeleton.
Oh, I see.
It was like, so it's like superimposing cheap CGI with like the classic practical effects.
Don't remember Fantastic Voyage having CGI, but
no, that's the practical effects. No, combined with combining cheap CG effects.
Yeah.
I see.
This shot right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is actually making me think a little bit of what was it called? That Mario Bava film, Planet of the Vampires. One of the inspirations for the space jockey from Alien. That the skeleton in that movie looked very similar to that T-Rex. Or not T-Rex, the Godzilla skeleton. T-Rex, the fuck.
Holy smokes.
Booze is getting to me.
This is really random right now, but like I'm on Best Buy and they're selling the Showa era films, like the big Criterion version that you and I have, Caleb, like the big book, the art book. Online. I'm surprised by that. Oh, that's pretty awesome.
Back in stock, huh?
Yeah, it's back in stock. That's pretty cool.
I don't think I ever see that kind of stuff on Best Buy.
That's so website. Random. That's pretty cool. I like that. Anyway, sorry to get off topic.
Yeah, and I will say, I think I like this character, this, or at least this actress, more than the one from Godzilla versus Megadryers.
Yes.
But both of them feel very similar and both feel equally flat, but
yeah, but she's hot enough, so
yeah, she's very attractive. Yeah,
maybe that's what
carries me. I don't know,
I give bonus points for that.
And I do like this little kid, again tying back to Megadryers having a little kid character, but this one's more likable, I think.
It's reverse though, whereas it was a and okay, this, yeah, this, he rectified it. So on in the previous film, or in Mega Drive, at least his previous film, excuse me, the director's previous film, you know, his previous Godzilla film, excuse me. It was a mother and a son, and they were like, they only seemed to be, you know, alone together. There was no husband or dad in the mix. And now in this one, it's the reverse. So it's a dad and a daughter. And at least this time they gave the daughter gives a line of like, you know, I wish they didn't bring back Godzilla and they brought back my mom instead. I'm like, that's so sad. I'm so sorry.
God, is the dad wearing overalls or a romper? I'm
not an sure. Apron, I believe.
Oh, is it an apron? Well, yeah. That's a very...
Well, looks like an apron to me.
It looks like more than an apron.
Okay.
But I mean, because it like goes around the back and I mean over the shoulders. I don't know. I'll have to see.
Okay, as of right now, kid. Wait, Sarah. Which is that's weird. That's all I'm gonna say. Like, her name's Sarah. Anyway. As of right now, Sarah, baseball, at least here in North America, is currently in another strike.
Oh yeah,
another strike. It's not. Yeah. It's not going on anytime soon. So like. Sorry.
So did the time jump? Because
not yet.
I know the opening of the film. So we're still in the past?
We're still in 99.
Okay. Is that an apron? Or see how it like, goes around the back too?
Yeah. I thought it was, maybe it's just like a more Japanese style apron. I'm not sure. Oh, but Isaac, since you mentioned maybe not that director's other film. Actually, Godzilla vs. Megadrive was his first film.
Oh, okay, good.
And this was his second.
Okay.
So,
like overall directing, not so much just like Godzilla. I meant like, I don't know if he directed anything in between.
No, just those two. And again, that's what makes it kind of strange that Tomiyama decided to bring him back, because again, Megadrive was kind of a big flop.
Well, said he was like, the guy was like really agreeable to work with.
Okay.
Yes, man. Caleb knows who those are.
Supposedly he just had like a really easygoing personality. No, I'm serious. And that led to him like being called back.
That's so nice. I'm sorry. That's so nice.
Yeah, and I guess maybe after working with Kaneko, I don't know how to say that guy's name either, the one who directed those three Heisei Gamera movies and then the last one. Because I know that he was a big like tough person to work with, and he was just fighting with the studio constantly.
I see.
So maybe they're just like, we need someone easy to work with after that kind of trial. So
respect. Very nice.
Yeah, and he would go on to do Tokyo SOS, which I think is probably the best of his three movies. So it gets a little better every time. And he actually did, I did see that he like volunteered to be like an assistant director on GMK to maybe try to learn from a more experienced director.
World's smallest violin.
So maybe that helped. By the way, do those touch plants exist? I don't know anything about that.
I don't know about those ones, but we have something similar native to this area. Here, there's a plant that looks very similar. It grows like a weed, like amongst regular grass.
That gerbil.
And
is that a hamster? Or...
It's a hamster, I think.
It's rotund. That's all it is.
Well, it is that.
Is it Hamtaro?
Maybe it is Hamtaro, actually. That's funny.
Maybe it was a reference.
Maybe. Yeah. No, you've got a point there.
Oh, but yeah, God. So a similar plant just grows terrible. Naturally amongst like grass in your lawn here. And it'll get really out of control if you don't control it. And it has leaves just like that. And yeah, you just touch it and it closes up. And then it'll stay closed for, I don't know, 10 minutes, and then we'll open up again and do the whole thing. I don't even know why it does that, by the way. I'm not sure what evolutionary purpose it has to close up what it does.
That was weird. Not weird. That's interesting that they, like, he succeeded her as prime minister, but it wasn't like a hostile takeover. It was almost like just a passing of the torch. I kind of like that. There's no foul play or scrutiny or anything like that. I like that. Also, she's very pale in this shot. That's odd.
Well, the color was all desaturated.
Yeah, there's a lot of different film stock and stuff going on.
Also, whoa, what are we in? Are we in Akira right now? What is this? Otomo? Oh, boy. I want to see if... That'd be cool if Katsuhiro Otomo ever directed a Godzilla film or an animated film. That'd be...
Is he still alive?
Cool. Oh, God. Oh, Caleb.
I can't remember if he was dead.
Oh, Caleb.
No, I'm seriously asking. What the fuck? Like, I don't know.
I'll let you. I'll let you. He's old, but like, he's not going to guy old. No offense to no going to guy. He still has got life in him. There we go. Time jump.
Hey, 2000. Satoshi Kon wasn't very old, and he's dead. That's, so you never
rest
know.
In peace, but man.
So years it now, peace,
my man. 2003.
Okay. 4 years later.
I've decided to put you back on the team, even though you've been behind a desk for years. But I also know that you've secretly been moonlighting as, well, I don't know, training. So, yeah, I guess, yeah, you're trained enough. So, yeah, you're going to be on my team. Okay.
Yeah, and I can't remember if in Megagyrus, because I know that she also, like, had someone in the beginning of the movie killed by Godzilla. I don't remember if the team, like, rejected her or not in that movie. It's been a little while since we did it, but... But I think that's kind of something, at least for the character, that she's got to like win over her team after them not trusting her. It's like the bare minimum, but it's something. But again, so much of this like setup here just feels so flat to me. Like it's just kind of, again, like background stuff that you don't really want to fully pay attention to.
So the opposite of what we saw in Godzilla Earth.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm not exactly sure why all this is so dull. I mean, maybe it's just that director, what's his name? Tezuka. Maybe he just didn't have enough, I was going to say flair, but maybe just command of delivering us interesting stuff. This kind of feels like almost like a documentary, the way some of this stuff is playing. Like, it's just so distant from the character.
I like her hair.
I do like
her hair. She's got great hair.
I agree.
I do like their little logo on their like little Godzilla head or whatever. Oh, she looks disappointed. Oh, please stop being cruel to me. Sitting there silently. Are you standing?
Sheesh. You got a...
She's going to screw us over?
You've got a thing up
here. She's also like the only girl...
Oh, yeah.
The whole unit.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're not pointing that out, obviously, but it's, I'm okay, I'm not putting two and two together here and saying, like, oh, it's because she's a girl, like, no. At least in this case, no, it's just because of, like, what happened.
Yeah, what was the name of that? Do you guys remember the name of the, like, team that they had in the other one?
Oh, no,
something Godzilla.
Like, there's, like, thing. G-Force and... Yeah. And
that's it. Yeah, G-Force.
Oh golly, it's a Stripes montage.
I've never actually seen Stripes all the way through.
I watched it for the first time all the way through about a month and a half ago. I don't know if I told y'all.
It's a lot, but what is it? I want to hear this.
What?
No, like what Eric? What Eric's saying?
When I was in the army, I had to do some training in Kentucky. I think at Fort Knox. And where we stayed the night for the week while we were there, like these old barracks from World War II. When we were there, some of the guys there were telling us, oh, by the way, y'all are staying in the same place, like where they shot Stripes. And I was like, oh, really?
Oh,
so
cool. I thought it was in Chicago.
So, oh, no. So I slept like in those same ones that they used in the film. Bunks. Yeah, like the old little barracks made out of wood. Yeah, I slept in them.
Sheesh, Shara's already like, you know, taking over this place.
Well, she
already had the barista here.
She didn't grow much in 4 years, though.
Hey, we don't talk about that.
Oh, I thought I was chatting up fat for a second.
Yeah, she got stunted by all the caffeine she's drinking.
Oh, golly. Well, if that's the case, she would get scurvy, and also she'd probably, like, her teeth would rot.
It's so funny. I mean, who knows?
Also frail bones.
She literally did not grow in the last 4 years.
Okay. So does he see his wife in her or what? That's my question.
Or he's just trying to move on, you know, it's been
I think do that. Just
okay.
He's
no, that's fair.
He's playing the field.
Well, he's not playing the field properly. Thank goodness this guy's here to like I don't know, chew her out or
well, no kidding. I don't usually hit on 22-year-olds myself very often.
That's fair. I mean, he's probably at least in his mid-30s right now, right?
Now, I understand that this is like from the golden era of Hollywood where that was like standard.
Well, this isn't Hollywood, though.
Yeah, he does look a lot older than her. Yeah,
I know, exactly. I'm not sure if they're playing by old Hollywood rules.
Whoa.
Just getting aggressive. Don't call him old man. That's my new boyfriend.
Well, to be fair, they kind of like engaged in a little sprawl yeah. there, so I can't really... She was just doing her job.
Yeah, and I guess he's the same in Mechagyres too. Wasn't there like another scientist that she was like kind of had like a vague romance with?
Not remembering that.
Was it the dude with the little robots? Didn't she kind of have a romance? Oh yeah. With him?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Now I remember that. Yeah, I thought there was a flirtation going on there.
And I guess that was another scientist that like just pulled out of his regular life to be a part of this program. Develop a secret weapon.
Not to be racist again, but the male scientist here, sometimes when the actor contorts his face, he kind of looks like Chow Yun-fat to me.
I could see the vague connection.
How is that racist?
the implication of the joke that's not a joke is that all these Asians look the same. But
yeah, and someone could be like, oh, you know, how dare you? He's trying fats Chinese. This guy's Japanese.
Or they would say, like, to their eyes, they'd be like, he doesn't look anything like Chow Yun-fat. But genuinely, sometimes the way he contorts his face, you're right. I used to be a big Chow Yun-fat fan back in the day. And I just watched Crouching Tiger recently again. Just the other day.
Well, I perfectly see what you mean, though, Eric, because his bone structure-wise... His face does look similar to Chow Yun-fat's.
Thank you.
So you are correct.
And if I picture him with a shaven head, he would resemble him even more, like in the Crouching Tiger.
Probably.
And here's another race is not racist thing. For whatever reason, and I'm not a true expert on this, but our female protagonist, her face is a little Korean looking to me. But again, I'm not an expert on that. But
you know, funny. You know, I sort of see what you mean.
Because I used to follow some K-pop. I haven't followed K-pop in the current modern era, but I did follow it 20 years ago. And so her face resembles like K-pop artists I was a fan of.
It still was like, you know, not when it wasn't popular.
Yeah,
it was still a counterculture thing. I don't know if it was a counterculture thing, more an underground thing.
Not that I'm trying to say that I'm the hipster of K-pop. I'm not trying to say that at all. That's just what happened.
Eric, what do you think of Mechagodzilla here, as Caleb's trying to ask?
Yeah, or Kiru, I guess.
I'm no like massive Mechagodzilla. Like, I have no dog in the hunt.
It's superb,
but I just do like, you know, it's some good model stuff. I forget the name of that British production company that's famous for doing oh God.
Thunderbirds.
But because I was a kid of the 80s, that same production company had a Marionette, whatever they called it. they had a series they produced in the 80s called Terror Hawks. And some of the model airplanes we saw and some of this model stuff, it reminds me of that Terror Hawks series, like, which I was a big fan of because of those models. And a lot of these models remind me of those models from that series.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I never seen that one.
It was cool, at least in my childhood memories. See, like this plane right here, very Terrorhawks.
Yeah, you know, I've actually never gone back to Thunderbirds in my adult years. I used to enjoy catching that on TV late at night or early in the mornings, but I've never pursued it in my adult years.
Should go back, man.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, it's a testing part. Yes, yeah, so because you, I remember you saying before, I think you mentioned, or one of you two mentioned in Mechagyres, they had a similar looking wing craft or aircraft, excuse me, and... Yeah, there was. Yeah, I think you mentioned that. And then here's the part where we have them testing out a weapon. In this case, it's not a black hole device, but instead it's Mechagodzilla itself.
Yeah, like freeze device, disintegration device.
I see. Smart. Yeah, so it really is just like same plot structure wise, but you know, probably redone. I don't know if redone is the word, but like. Looked over again, second treatment. I don't know what you would call it.
Yeah, and I guess they had their own little secret flying device too. I forget what that thing was called, but they were always flying around in. What was that thing?
Does the Godzilla model look similar to the one from Mega Gyrus?
Yeah, this is like a continued evolution from Godzilla 2000. So yeah, I think these ones all look pretty similar. The only one that really diverged was GMK. They had a brand new Godzilla design. But all the other Millennium ones kind of use the same kind of look, just minor alterations.
I see. Well, that's fair. I respect that.
Yeah, and I mostly like it. I mean, this is actually the Godzilla that I have on my sitting on my dinner table. It's the figure from Final Wars. So it's the same kind of look.
Well, they don't
Although look... this one's... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, they don't look like the mutants from Final Wars, but... Or whatever those suits were, but still. Yeah, it actually might be like a starting point, and then like the evolution... In that movie, they probably... That's what the suits eventually looked like. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't remember the neck looking so kind of spread out and bulky in Mega Gyrus, but it's been quite a while since we watched that one.
Caleb, what do you think of the design for Mechagodzilla? Unless you already said it.
I think my issue with it is it looks the most like a toy. Like, it doesn't look metallic at all.
Oh, even the original one didn't look like a toy.
I always felt like there was a more of a metal element to them. This one especially just looks like plastic. So, and same with like all their helmets that they wear. I just don't really like the look of like their whole little outfits.
You can see the cheapness coming off.
The cheapness, exactly. But overall, I like the setup of Mechagodzilla here, or Kira.
I exactly see what you're talking about, yet for some reason this looks pretty cool. Even though, yeah.
It is cool.
Like like it's made out of plastic. But it looks cool. Because I wasn't really impressed, but I don't have a good memory of what the other previous ones looked like, Mechagodzillas. I just wasn't necessarily impressed before.
Hmm. That's fair. Yeah, and I still feel like one day we're going to get a great Mechagodzilla. I don't think we've ever had a great one.
Yeah.
Even the one in Godzilla versus Kong, it's like, it's not quite there yet. But
I actually agree with you on that one.
Yeah, I totally enjoyed that movie, but I wasn't a fan of the design.
Well, you know what it was? I think it was... The skeleton was there, it just didn't, like, I don't think it was finished.
It was getting a little bit too Transformer-y, like, from the live-action movies, which, again, I'm not really a fan of those types of robots.
Sort of. I wouldn't say so, because I think that one looked more like what Transformers should look like than, you know, what, well, whatever Bumblebee looked like, fine. But, like, just, you know, prior to Bumblebee, all of them looked like, you know, how Michael Bay designed them. So I think... Yeah, Mechagodzilla was, well, I think everybody was probably going to make that connection there. Of like, Mechagodzilla just looks like a Transformer. It's like, he's not the original Transformer, but, you know, I see the point there.
Well, here's your, it's like, you know, the required evacuation scene.
Running. All right, who's smiling? Yeah. Pick out who's smiling. Hey, baseball. Nice.
Yep, but this is a great cameo right here.
Yep.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
That's funny.
And apparently, his nickname since high school, at least. Oh my god, I can't think of his name now. Oh my god, what's his name in real life? That's his name. Oh, it's on his jersey.
Matsui?
Yeah, so he's playing himself. Like his real life self.
Yeah.
Not the popcorn. Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, because actually... I think it's 2 days after this movie premiered, he actually got signed on to the New York Yankees. He was a famous player at the time, especially because, you know, not many Japanese have crossed over to American baseball. Anyways, apparently his nickname going back to high school was actually, they called him Godzilla because he was like nearly 6 foot tall, 200 pounds, which is unusual for a Japanese person. But they say that he was called Godzilla partly because of his size, but also because of his acne and acne scars gave him like pop mark skin, Godzilla as well.
Yeep.
And then, so he played for the Yankees, you know, after this. And Toho was going to sue the Yankee organization because at the field, at the stadium, they would sell these plushies and inflatable dolls that kind of look like Godzilla. And Toho was going to like sue them for like trademark infringement because they were selling those without permission.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, Godzilla looks so pissed there. Yes, who's this fucker?
Yes, he does. Surly serpent.
I feel like I fought in you in previous lifetimes, but enough of that.
He was making a face like Mr. Burns, looking upset.
Not excellent.
I should just mention, because the music's playing right now, this is actually the same score, basically, for Mega Gyrus as well.
I was wondering that, too.
They brought back the old composer.
The only female composer of Godzilla movies, and I think the next movie would be her last. And people like her, because she, I guess, had unique scores and very action-oriented. But if you want to knock her style, I'm not saying we have to, but if there is a criticism, it's she purposely never wanted to hear any classic Godzilla scores because she never wanted to be influenced by them. So that's notable because you definitely don't ever hear, you know, the classic theme if she's composing, because by design, she did not want to be influenced by the past.
I like that. That's smart.
I like it, except I love when they just give you a little bit of the class, because it's so iconic.
Oh, yeah. No, of course. Mm-hmm. They should have just done that anyways. It's just like, here's the classic score. It's like, okay, why not?
Yeah, and although this is basically the same score, it is like remixed with like new instruments, and I think it sounds a lot better. It sounds a little bit more full. I guess I should just say her name, Mashiro Oshima. Yeah, I think she was a good continuation in having its own unique sound.
Oh, what the? Oh, whoa. Flashback.
I saw some YouTube video of her just playing some of the score just on a regular like keyboard. And it's crazy because in the video I saw, she looks like a 60-something year-old Japanese woman, but she is like jamming out crazily on the keyboard, and it's an interesting visual.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That sounds fun. Maybe I should check that out.
Back for a swim. Oh, by the way, Eric, Ichiro Suzuki.
There you go.
Yeah.
Very famous guy.
And, well, yeah, but you know, another baseball player that came over to North America.
Yeah.
That's actually a great effect shot there.
Yeah,
that looked fantastic.
All things considered, because again, they were given a small budget, a lot smaller than the previous movie, which was already on a small budget. So,
yeah. Oh, whoa! What a turn! What a shot! What a swerving swerve!
Jesus Christ! Are they trying to kill us?
Yeah, that's surprising. Yeah.
What a shock.
There is an element of this Kiru or Mechagodzilla that looks a little bit like a Megazord.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I was going to say that earlier. Yeah, when I was talking about Terrahawks, I was also thinking about that. There's this little red slit at the bottom of the red eye. And they said that little slit there, you can see it better in the close-ups, was supposed to be, what do you call it? It was supposed to represent like a bloody teardrop.
Oh. Ooh. Devil May Cry up in here.
You can't, I'll tell you when you can see it again pretty well. You can't really see it.
Jeez. Like, I sort of see what you mean there, but like, goodness gracious. You take the DNA from, or spinal fluid or whatever it is, from a dead skeleton, like a near 50-year-old skeleton. And then you like insert it into like, you know, a machine as like a weird creation, almost Frankenstein creation or Frankensteinian creation. And you don't expect it to rebel against its nature. Should have thought this through more.
Yeah, it is weird. I mean, why use the skeleton? It seems like it's a lot more work.
A lot more work.
Man, they've gotten really fluid with those ships.
I gotta say, I really like the CGI in this movie. Okay, other than like, you know, what we saw earlier. I think I very much like this, like at least the integration and the merging between like, you know, shots, live action. I think they just do a fantastic job in this
but
this here film.
What's, I don't know if sad's the right word, Have you watched any of those like Chinese films that have come out recently, like starring like Matt Damon or whoever?
No.
You mean The Wall?
Uh-huh. Like, or like, I can't remember what that movie's called, which was the highest grossing movie in the world until Spider-Man came along. But it was like the highest grossing movie in the world last year. And it was a Chinese movie that nobody outside of China has seen.
Look it up.
But I watched some of like clips of it, and the movie is 2021, and a lot of the CG is as janky as like, you know, what we're seeing.
Lone Wolf.
Interesting.
No, I'm just saying they haven't progressed much with a lot of Asian cinema in current times right now. Like, they haven't gone much beyond what we're seeing in this.
Okay, yeah, I see the flaws in that shot, but I can accept it. I said most of the CGI works.
Yeah. You get some that look really good, and then some that just, yeah, you can, like, ooh. Do you mean the battle at Lake Chajing? I don't know how to say that. I'm so bad at these.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think that's what it is. Yeah, look up clips of that movie. Like the highest grossing movie of 2021.
It was not an error in the system. Recognize the enemy. The enemy is us. Shocker of shocks.
Yeah, this is a number of the Millennium films feel like they have no message behind them. It's kind of like what Carl used to always complain about with Star Trek Enterprise, where it's like, oh, you kind of lose the
essence. There is some message with the little girl.
Very, very kind of surface.
She's the one who's obsessed with Mother Nature.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, her dad also kind of like talked about it early on when he was showing the trilobite or cyborg trilobite there.
There was.
Where it was like.
Go ahead.
Oh boy, that's scary. Oh no, you go ahead, Garrick. I'm just waiting for
you. So I didn't really know this. I got this from a video I watched earlier today. So these are not my thoughts, what I'm about to say. Just plagiarizing.
Sure.
So when whatever this organization is called, the one who put together the Mechagodzilla, for the plot or whatever.
JXFDF,
so,
I think.
This other reviewer was explaining that whenever, or especially in this case, I don't know if it's always the case with the previous Mechagodzillas.
I see the teardrop.
Yeah. But this is supposed to be, Mechagodzilla in this movie is a metaphor for Japan rearming itself.
Hmm. I remember that line.
You know how it was written into their constitution post-World War II that they'll never, you know, build up their arms again, you know, to like significant levels. So them manufacturing Mechagodzilla is supposed to be a metaphor of Japan getting offensive again. And so it's in Japanese eyes, it's like a big deal. Like, this is going against our constitution.
Interesting. That's cool.
Yeah, I respect that.
Oh, that adds to it then. I take back my Carl comments.
No, because Eric's right, because I remember the previous prime minister, when she was being when she was being heckled by all the reporters there on the stairs, I think they mentioned armaments. I'm like, oh, I think I know where this is going. So yeah, it proves Eric's. I validates Eric. Well, what Eric's video guy said. That makes sense. No, yeah, this is kind of like a breach of contract, almost. Not a breach of contract, but does this go against like our identity right now, or what we stand for? In real, I think a lot of. I don't think it's just this film that was doing it. I think a lot of films, or maybe not a lot of films, some certain Japanese films were doing this at the time as well. I think there might be one that I could be wrong on that, but I know
I wouldn't doubt it though. I would not doubt it for a second. There's probably numerous examples.
Yeah, I was just curious, but
I think maybe Pat Labor 2. I'm probably going a little too far on that one, but I'm pretty sure Pat Labor 2 might be potentially. I think part of End of Evangelion probably is also maybe one of them. I might get flustered by that.
Oh yeah, and Evangelion was related to this because of the whole grafting a machine onto a biological creature.
It would seem the roar did something to him, triggered an event.
So curious for you, Isaac, watching this today.
Yep.
Or whenever you watched it.
Yeah, whenever I watched it. Whenever it was.
Because I definitely, I mean, maybe it's because I've seen this one so many times, yep. But whenever I watch it, I feel like the first maybe half an hour is like super slow. And then this period too, it really slows down and then it picks up near the end. Were you bored watching a lot of this, or were you kind of in it?
Well, you know what it is. It's kind of following almost. I'm not gonna say there's a formulated plot here, but this is a little different. Where instead of we see Godzilla be the threat, now it's like, you know, our own machines turn against us, and so now we have a conundrum. We have a problem on our hands. We have to solve it. So it's more or less the case. It's the setup, then the action. Well, the action from Godzilla obviously is what sets everything up, but that's still part of the setup. Then we have the conflict, and then we have the post conflict and what happens following this. So what, you know, this part of the consequences, and then we'll have like the final battle at the end.
Well, yeah, that's the structure. But for your personal engagement, like, did you feel fully pulled into the movie, or were you just kind of like, okay, when are we going to get this rolling again? Or
that was a cool hat flip.
Oh, here we go. Nice. Everyone's happy. We trust you now, sister.
Yeah, no, there was no fault on you, my friend. You're one of us. She pulled you up, man. What's going on here? Why? Oh, I forgot to mention. It's like, sorry, I don't wear hats. I like toques.
How about for you, Eric? I guess I'll give you the same question.
Oh, I was about to answer, and then I forgot that I was going to answer.
Sure.
For me, it's not the most engaging thing in the world, but I'd rather have this and watch these live-action people than, let's say, the slow times in the animated movies that we saw not too long ago. I prefer this to that,
oh, okay,
to be honest, as dull as this might seem. And then also, I get it, they can make this more exciting, but then for some reason my brain interprets that like the opposite extreme of that, of this would be what's his name, Shia LaBeouf and his family and all the antics.
Oh god, no.
So like these are like opposite ends of the spectrum, because I told y'all when we did Transformers, those are like American kaiju movies to me, and we have like the separate human drama and all the military and all those characters, and then you have the robots. And it's very like a Godzilla movie to me. And then there's Gundam movies that are like that as well, where they do the whole human thing, and then there's the Gundams battling. I mean, I don't know. It is what it is. That sounds lame. And honestly, and I think I've said this before, and I think you guys have different opinions. I like how it's been done and handled. It's not perfect, but for the most part, I like how it's been handled in the modern American movies, Godzilla movies. I actually kind of cared for the human characters in Godzilla 13 or 14, whatever it was. And then, of course, as they've gone with the second and third of the American ones, they've been getting a little bit like into the Michael Bay territory of starting to get a little crazier. But that's okay. That's fine. Where it was like really serious in the first one. And the more they keep making sequels, the more they're getting a little bit fast and loose with the human elements.
Yeah, I meant to mention this. I had it in my notes. I was like, this protagonist actually reminds me of that Godzilla 2014 protagonist, where it's kind of like they both have kind of a tragic history to them. They both connected to Godzilla. And they both are like, you're supposed to kind of feel for them because they're these military characters, but they don't really have much else to them besides their minor tragedy background.
Yeah, it's weird. And like
their connection to the military.
I'm no expert on Asian media or Eastern media and Asian, all that. But it's like, you know, I dabble in Final Fantasy games, and it's always like with different, if you know anything about Final Fantasy, the video game franchise, people, you know, really prefer certain iterations because of those particular protagonists, and then less so other Final Fantasy games. And they do the same thing game to game with their different protagonists, like they do with these Godzilla movies. Like there's similar backstories. Like in the Final Fantasy games, so-and-so's an ex-soldier. They lost their squad. Now they're super quiet and stoic and blah, blah, blah. And they have like this past trauma that they're dealing with. And you just either like the protagonist in the new Final Fantasy game or you don't. And I don't know. It's and then, of course, if you watch anime, you see the same thing over and over again with different protagonists losing their family early on or something like Luke Skywalker or something. So, I don't know. It seems to me, no matter whether you're making a Godzilla movie or some other Japanese series, it just seems like you have the same plug-and-play pieces sitting on the table, and it's like, you know, by the numbers. And so what are we going to do this time? And it just seems like you pull from the same jigsaw pieces and then assemble them.
I see you.
That's fair. Yeah. And like I said, this was like a back to basics kind of movie for them. So, I mean, again, they basically recycled the entire kind of plot and character dynamic for Mega Gyrus. So yeah, really is just plug and play filmmaking.
Oh, I like his ear covers over his headphones. I've never really seen, like, I've seen foot covers like that, you know, but shoe covers, but I haven't seen like the ear covers like that.
Oh God. And actually I just said, this is also in my notes, I guess I'll mention this. So when Tomoyama got, whatever this guy's name is, Tezuko, I think, Tezuka, he was like, oh yeah, like, you know what? I think you've got a good vision making this movie. I want you to make a trilogy of movies.
Oh yeah.
So of course they made the duology with this and Tokyo SOS. And I guess, Eric, you probably know, but for Isaac, the third movie was going to be called Godzilla versus Godzilla. And they were going to clone Godzilla to fight. And I wish we got that. That sounds completely absurd.
I mean, we kind of already got it here, but that's just me.
Well, the Mechagodzilla is a little bit of a different angle, but I see what you're saying. But
yeah, I mean, not really a clone because it's a different it's a different species. No, sorry, not species. It's a different member of the species. No. Excuse me.
Sony office building.
Well, it's Sony, so what do you expect?
Oh, and so I learned also the production studio that produced the Gamera films. So they just went out of business and got bought out. Prior to this movie, and then the company that bought out the old Gamera studio, they actually wanted to financially contribute to this production, but Toho did not accept any assistance from them or financial backing or whatever.
Godzilla looks like a complete badass right there, by the way.
He's taking names, man. He's not having it. It's like 84 all over again. He's taking names.
Oh, and also
he's large and he's in charge.
Marching orders for this movie because of the lower budget. They were only allowed to destroy 3 model buildings. They destroyed more than 3, but the marching orders were you're allowed 3.
Yeah, it really sounds like Tomoyama was kind of a hack running this franchise up at this point. Like a lot of his, I mean, pairing it up with Hamtaro, that just seems like completely cheapening the franchise. So maybe not one of my favorite producers of the Godzilla pantheon, but I do still love the Millennium effect of the atomic blast. I think it looks great.
Yeah, I can't complain there, really. It looks like it's not a Kamehameha, but
oh God. I just looked up Shogu Tomoyama to see how many of these movies he did. And he got his start with Rebirth of Mothra. Makes sense. Absolutely makes sense.
It all comes back.
Oh God, those movies. But Eric, did you watch any of those yet? Or just, I know you own them, but did you end up seeing them?
Which?
The Rebirth of Mothra trilogy.
Oh, no, I have not. I have not. I own them, but have not yet watched them, no.
Yeah, I'll be excited when we get to those. Those will be fun.
Again, not to sound racist again, but so he's the prime minister now, right? I mean, not him, but him in the gray suit. He loosely resembles the one of the antagonists in Karate Kid Part 2. And I've just been getting those vibes. He doesn't look exactly like him, but he's giving me those vibes. I can't think of his name in Karate Kid 2.
Yeah, and the guy behind him there, the guy behind him in the suit, I don't know how to pronounce that guy's name. It's like Koichi Ueda or something like that. He's been going all the way back since Violent. He's been in 12 Godzilla movies.
My goodness.
He was one of the big mainstays of the franchise, been in some of the most of any of the Godzilla actors. Usually in super minor roles, just like this.
I don't know how familiar you guys are with Karate Kid Part 2 and the character I'm speaking of, but I know you guys are fans of Samurai Jack. And when I first started watching Samurai Jack, when it was like a new thing on TV, I thought for sure it was the same actor doing the voice for whatever the antagonist's name is.
Man, it's Marvin.
What?
It's Marvin.
Oh, the character?
Yeah. Or wait, no, is it, no, wait. That's the, was that guy's name Marvin who got shot in Pulp Fiction, or is that somebody else?
Yeah, that's Marvin. Marvin.
That's Marvin.
What does he have to do with?
Yeah, I'm confused. This relates to what Eric was saying.
Like when they go on the whole like when they're inside the apartment and like they shoot the guy.
Well, yeah, I know that.
Yeah, I get that part, but how's it? Yeah, I'm curious how it relates to.
Pretty sure that was Marvin, right?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
But what's the connection to what we're talking about now?
Well, that's the voice for Samurai Jack.
Oh, he does Jack. Marvin does?
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny because Caleb, he that same person that he's talking about right now, he did the voice for at least two characters in the Book of Boba Fett. He did one of the gang leaders for the Mos Espa gangs. And I think he's in the suit and does the voice for the guy who's running the Pike Syndicate as well. The Marvin guy.
Oh,
he does the voice. And
he's also in Futurama.
Yeah.
Plays, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What's his name? Felix? No.
I don't remember that character's name in Futurama.
I don't remember his name either, but I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Caleb, you know him. He's Jon Stewart.
But I wasn't talking about the voice of Samurai Jack. The voice of the baddie,
Mako.
Yeah, I got to interrupt you guys for a minute here. So that nurse there and that soldier guy behind him.
Yep.
Those are the two leads of Godzilla vs. Megagyrus.
Hey.
That's and the right. soldier guy's playing the same character. He's credited under the same name.
Jeez, this is like the end game of Godzilla.
No, it's like I'm watching Weathering with You, and I'm all of a sudden just see the guys from Your Name show up.
Did that happen in Weathering with You?
Yeah, it did. Where like the guys like from Weathering with You just show up. I'm like, Your Name show up. I'm just like, hey, even though I've not seen Your Name ever, I know those two are from Your Name.
I freaking adore Your Name, the movie.
I love this shot.
And I will get to Weathering You eventually.
Yeah. Maybe we'll cover it one day and have you on. I'd love to talk about that movie.
Yeah, Mechagodzilla.
Oh, I love all the miniatures there. Little cars. Oh, I love all that stuff. Goddamn. Oh,
I missed it. Dang it. Oh, yeah, those are some nice ones.
Oh, yeah. That's good stuff.
Yeah, it's funny they keep showing this nurse. The first time I watched this, I was like, hey, this kind of feels like Avengers. Why do we keep seeing this lady?
I mean, she could be, Yeah, no, it is her. Yeah, you're right. Maybe it's just because she's going to see. Ah, okay. Hey, man.
Yeah, they just keep focusing on her. It's just like that one girl in Avengers that they just kept. And it was the same thing with Avengers, too. I was like, why do we keep focusing on this chick?
Shoulder push.
That was one of the janky effects.
Oh yeah, you mean Ellie and her Gwen.
Oh, is that I don't know the person or any of her other things. I just remember her from, I think she was like a Whedon person, like she showed up in like some other stuff he did.
In like Avengers 2012?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, when she's like and Captain America saves her.
Yeah, and we keep just seeing her just randomly once the attack starts. Look at the little cars there. I love
that's,
that.
Yeah, oh, that's man. Pretty awesome. Those are really cool.
They look great, too.
They really do look good. Yeah.
So is that what Mechagodzilla was always called in Japanese? Like, from the show era? Kiru? Or...
Kiru? I don't believe so, no. This is the first time I've ever heard it.
Or actually, I think it's pronounced Kira, but it's not spelled like that.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure this is the only time they've done that.
I'm curious. Oh, okay, so they called him Mecha Gojira. Okay, I see. That makes sense. Mecha Gojira.
I actually use the Mecha a lot. Like, they have Mecha Ghidorah, Mecha Kong. So, yeah, I think the Kira was for some...
Yeah, but it means something in Japanese that makes sense for...
Yeah,
it does. No, there's a reason they called it that. All right, come on, let's try to clinch. It's not working.
Yeah, because in the book that I bought, A Critical History and Filmography of Toei's Godzilla Series...
That's awesome.
They did mention what the name meant, so I'm going to quickly go back to my book. And
so Kiru, Kiru in kanji is a shortened version of saying Kikai Ryu. So it's like an abbreviated Kikai Ryu, and Kikai Ryu means machine dragon in Japanese. So Kiru is just like a shortening of that.
Yeah, the book I was looking at, yeah, the mechanical dragon. Yeah. So I guess not so much meaning to it, but I guess fair enough.
Or Koryu could mean steel dragon.
Fuck you, buddy.
Oh, come on, beam lock. What is this? I want to see the beam lock here.
No, I'm glad they didn't. I've seen enough beam locks to last.
I mean, it's overproduced, but I still think the giant laser in the sky is worse.
The beam lock's probably just as overplayed, but.
I
love the hugs.
No, they're fighting for a clinch. They're fighting for control here. They're trying to get their underhooks.
He's just like, hey, you feel like my brother. What do you guys think of them calling it Godzilla against Mechagodzilla, by the way?
I guess they just couldn't reuse Versus, right? Or something like that. Because they'd already used that. I just assumed they'd already done that title so much.
Yeah.
Holy shoot, they stole... Oh, wow. Oh.
It's funny.
The hidden blade.
The model of the town or the city, it just reminded me of like the model like in Kill Bill. Her name is like landing in Japan, and it's totally a model of...
Oh, I don't remember that.
Japan cityscape. Oh, you gotta see it. It's when the plane, because the plane is obviously a model itself, and it's totally Tarantino doing like an homage to Japanese models.
Oh, that's fun. But yeah, the title is probably, because they already did the Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla twice, so they were probably like, we don't want to do that again.
Yeah, that's what I think. Just like... I don't know how the whole V thing became like a trend in American stuff instead of versus the V.
Oh, yeah. It's lame. It's pretty lame, in my opinion.
Oh, my God.
Hey, what the fuck?
Somebody at work brought up Batman versus Superman today. And I was like, oh, please, let's not bring this. He's just like, he wanted to complain about the movie. And I was like, oh, please. I don't want to do this right now in 2022.
I've heard everything and everything about it.
He was like, there's no way Superman would have lost to Batman. And I was like, oh, no.
Well, yeah, like, but he did.
But I feel like I'm being re-traumatized again. Like, I don't need to revisit this debate right now.
Not bringing up those old wounds.
Wow, I like his spines, Mechagodzilla.
It is very nice spine.
Pretty savage.
That is a nice set. Wow, that's such a good and detailed set. Wow, yeah. Glad they shot in the dark.
I'm telling you, go back and watch Kill Bill, and you'll see like a cityscape like this.
Dodge.
I can never get past how much I love that flame effect.
Tail swipe.
One of my favorite elements.
Whoa!
Yeah, that's hilarious. They have a very similar shot in Final Wars.
Yeah, but see, you're trying to make the movie serious, and then they do something funky like that. Yeah,
look terrible.
Shoulder rush.
Yeah, it's King Caesar. King Caesar does something very similar in Final Wars.
Oh, yeah, right.
I think I was told there's some shots like that in Magirus as well. Like, some really crappy...
Oh, yeah.
Shots like, effects like that.
Give another one, and another one, and here's another one. Headbutt, I think. I think he's going for a headbutt.
Nah, he's just grabbing his head and... Yeah, he's
pushing him back, I guess.
Probably squeezing real hard on it. Some of those extras just smiling, looking at the screen. They're loving it.
Well, I think they were told to do that because it's like their creation is actually working this time and not being compromised by thoughts of the old world.
Now, you'd think even with the success, they'd be thinking, oh my God, our city's being absolutely demolished. It's going to take years to rebuild, probably billions of dollars. And I guess not dollars, but
I saw this in a movie once.
So you still think they would not be happy about this?
Oh boy.
Oh, you think that had be a bigger impact?
I'm more concerned about the poor effect.
Oh, he's feeling sleepy now.
Oh,
the
color of the eyes lets you know who's running Mechagodzilla. I believe when it's yellow, it's the humans are in control, and when it's red, it's in control. The soul of Godzilla.
Oh,
I see. That's pretty cool.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Because I was about to say, why is it yellow? And I was like, oh, it's because they got control back.
Stand by.
Rebel base appearing in 10 minutes.
Oh, here we go. The big weapon.
Oh, it really is the Death Star weapon. Or lasers.
Well, I do actually love the look of Godzilla's eyes. I think they look pretty cool.
Aha, you thought I was down. I was not.
Oh, my God.
Push. Oh, no.
Oh, no. It's got the Matrix. The Matrix.
It's going right for us. Oh, golly.
Those are the three buildings.
That's a good way they... Yeah, but that's a good way they got away
Sony
with it.
Sony was saved.
Oh, no.
Couldn't damage a Sony building, and they couldn't produce these discs.
What did you expect? Like, we saw that before.
Out of control.
Out of control. Oh, no. It's going berserk or whatever they said in Evangelion.
Oh, it says there's a problem with the operating system, it says.
Not the OS. We gave him Windows Vista.
Where's that little maid person in Godzilla Singular Point? She can fly around and fix it.
Oh, did you see that finally?
I've seen like the first like 6 episodes.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, I forgot about that.
Oh, and they have one of those little maid things in Godzilla versus Megajaris as well. If you guys remember.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that now.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, I think once I'm finished Midnight Mass, I'm going to go back and finish Singular Point since I've been on such a kaiju kick lately. And I actually finally went back and finished off the Heisei Gamera films. Finally.
Satisfied?
I have not yet seen any of those. I think I saw the second or third Gamera.
Yeah, I definitely prefer the 3 Gamera ones over most of the Godzilla Heisei stuff. The later Heisei Godzilla films, yeah, they go...
That's interesting.
Yeah, they're...
Well, those are wacky. Were those the wacky ones?
Yeah, they get real wacky, like the Terminator one. The
time travel, Terminator, yeah.
Yes. Yes, Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah. Oh, boy. Oh... Yeah, and I guess it is funny, this whole thing about Godzilla basically fighting like a different version of himself. They do that all over the place in the Heisei era. Like Space Godzilla, Destroya, Biollante even, they're all kind of takeoffs of the old Godzillas.
Oh my gosh, she got her utility belt, her Batman utility belt.
Yeah, Batman.
Well, yeah, and yeah, that's kind of the idea of like any superhero as well, where they're always going to fight themselves. Like there's... Bizarro Superman. I guess there's the whole Bizarro Justice League. We're not going to go into that. But for
Ultraman.
Ultraman. Yes, Ultraman. The Ultra. What's his name? The Ultra Humanite. The Ultra Humanite.
Civil War, I guess.
The Diaxamites. I forgot how to say their names. What?
Men in Black 3. Didn't love that movie.
Oh, gosh. I didn't watch it.
I would say for, you know, Green Lantern, there's the, you know, Yellow Lanterns, the Red Lanterns.
A little sign that came from a truck.
Purple Lanterns or Star Sapphire, sorry.
It said drain air tanks daily. That's like a sign off a truck. Oh, boy.
And blackouts.
Yeah, now this also feels like Godzilla 2014. Oh, there's our buddy again.
Hey!
There he is again.
How you doing, buddy? Oh, okay, goodbye.
It's a crazy cameo.
Oh, there's her again.
I'm shocked that he's practicing his swings inside, but that's just me. Whoa!
Hey, he's thinking about it all the time, man.
Wait a minute.
Like,
so that is what they do when they're not outside.
Okay, so this is where... Oh my goodness, this is where... Okay. All right, Anno, this is where you got that idea from in Evangelion. Actually, no, wait, what am I saying? Wait a minute. No, never mind. They stole us from Evangelion.
Yeah, and I guess, yeah, it is Godzilla movie too. Goddamn.
Wait, is this like the... Wait a minute, isn't this supposed to...
By some radioactivity.
Uh-oh. Wait, is this the... Wait a minute, isn't this from Star Trek 2? No problem.
Yeah, which part do you mean?
Oh, when he was like... When Spock's about to sacrifice himself.
No, did you just mean like the stuff spraying around?
I thought she was about to like... It seemed like she was about to get like completely gassed with the radiation. I'm like, that's not good. Lethal radiation, excuse me.
Are they still making that fourth? I think I heard rumblings that they're making that fourth Star Trek.
That's the latest rumor.
Interesting.
But then I saw a headline. I didn't read the article. I don't know if it's probably clickbait, but it was an article that says they're making the fourth Star Trek movie, but the cast knows nothing about it.
Oh, interesting.
Pretty much.
I don't know if that's true, but that's what just the headline said.
Does he understand what you say?
Hey, I was watching some of Star Trek Beyond the other day as well, and I still dig that movie.
Yeah. Really good movie.
Yeah, I totally dig it. I was because I got a new TV, and I was just watching when the Enterprise docks at whatever that station is for the first time. Looks amazing in 4K. On the right equipment.
It's called, I forget, something. It's like center pointer or whatever, but right in the back. I call it the Mobius station.
Okay, fair enough.
Or I guess the Loreline station, because I forgot the first guy's name. Valerian. Oh, yeah, Valerian and Loreline station. There we go.
Oh,
the little tiny models of like the statuettes that were down there on ground level. That's funny. Nice little detail.
Good detail. Very good detail. This is the...
Yeah,
I'll never say my thing. Go ahead. What are you saying?
Oh, you go ahead.
No. You first. Oh, flashback. We got a flashback.
Oh, no.
That CP tone.
Pathfinder was...
That was a nice Pathfinder.
All I was going to say is one of the things I appreciate with these Millennium Era films is they stick to just the 90 minutes mark for the most part.
Oh, yeah. Heisei's,
they go well over the 100 minutes, sometimes close to 2 hours.
Very good to restrict.
It's like, So I was just trying to give
It's like she's like Luke. It's like she's Luke looking at his mechanical hand.
I have a hand. What are you
turning into his father? Is he becoming more machine than man? Power! Unlimited power!
Oh my god. Can't wait to get to that film. Oh god.
I'm gonna pilot the heck out of you, even if it tears me apart.
As if it's my arm strength that somehow lifts the creature.
Hey, maybe she hurt her arm, you know.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there's a little. I saw a little bit of the wires. They've done a pretty good job of covering them up, but I saw a little bit there.
Oh no, not this time.
Oh, Isaac, what were you gonna say? I forgot.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah. No, that's fine. Whoa, what the fudge? This is the weirdest like fight between Goliath and Coldstone. If anybody gets that reference.
Oh, I don't.
I'm coming for you. It's a Gargoyle's reference.
In the mouth.
Oh my gosh. Oh. Kamikaze. Whoa, the plane is huge compared to Godzilla.
Yoink.
Now that scene was making me think of Megajaris as well when they were like shoving that thing in Godzilla's mouth. We were all like, oh my god.
He's still alive.
Are you giving me permission to do so? Yes.
Yeah, blow them away.
Avoid excessive use of controls.
I really don't want to. I can't.
Destructo machine. Take him out, brother.
We're doing this together. We go out as one.
Yeah, and another positive that I like about the Millennium Era is Godzilla's always pretty villainous. Like the Heisei and especially the Showa, they really kind of turn him into like a, and same with the Monsterverse where he's like the hero, more like a superhero protector. I appreciate they went back to the darker roots of Godzilla's destruction with these movies.
Oh boy.
Yeah, not looking great. Oh boy.
Yeah, I accept it. I accept it for what it looks like.
Yeah, that is definitely one of the knocks for the Millennium movies is they lean into the CGI a little bit more than they could actually handle.
Oh, I remember 2004, or Final Wars, sorry, which was 2004.
Yeah, Final Wars. Yeah.
I feel like all the sci-fi stuff of this era out of Japan, and China, was doing that. But again, watch some of their modern movies and they haven't progressed very far in their CGI abilities as what we see in this.
Did she do it?
Yeah, and I'll even say I recently watched King of the Monsters in the UHD version, and I thought the CGI actually broke down the most out of the modern movies in that one.
Oh, really?
They had some really kind of flawed effects.
I'll
there.
I'll go back and watch it.
Whoa, I got a wicked brain freeze.
Yeah, I also thought the audio track on that one was not very good either. I was kind of like, I mean, it was fine, but it was like, oh, compared to the other two, especially 2014 had a fantastic audio track. King of the Monsters, I thought they kind of cheaped out, but
wow, I don't remember anything bad about it, or not anything excessively bad. I have to go back and watch it again.
I love that. Just raising up. I wish he was holding a sword. Lady in the lake scene, but
oh, well.
Ooh, lost his arm.
Yeah, it's looking a little worse for the wear. Yeah,
there's your Luke reference right there. Oh, his face is fine. His face is completely unscathed.
He's all right. Yeah. Yeah, but how are they going to find another Godzilla bone arm for him?
Oh, they cloned him. Don't worry, it's fine.
No, they didn't make that sequel.
Send the clones.
Oh, now I'm getting excited for what's going to come up next. Oh man, start thinking about that randomizer again.
I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, you mean like that? I was like, I don't know what's happening next in the movie.
That guy just looked like he came. Sorry, I'm drunk. I don't know why I said that.
Whoa.
Just
seeing this look. Whoa.
The way his eyes opened up, I was like, oh God. Well.
Well, at least the character arc is fulfilled and he now trusts her. Basic, but I accept it.
Yeah, and it is interesting this one leaves on such like an open-ended kind of thing. Like, oh, our victory was that we discovered that we could fight against him. But it's very much leaving itself open for a sequel.
Wait, isn't that kind of how Shin ends?
Yep, yeah, Shin kind of ends like that too.
It ended up with freezing as well, except Godzilla didn't walk away, and they at least knew that it was bittersweet, but there was also a haunting message at the end. This, I don't feel, is as haunting as that one was.
No. Yeah, this one feels a little bit more like the King Kong versus Godzilla ending. Where just Godzilla kind of swims away. Or was that Kong? I don't remember. I think it was Kong, actually.
Both kind of just go their separate ways.
Yeah, the 60s one, I mean. But
poor Sarah fell asleep.
Yeah. Is the battle over?
Yeah. Sorry, I was staring at the floor too long. My eyes are now, like, glued, permanently opened. I can't close my eyes.
Maybe she was watching the Hamtaro movie that played before this. She's like, really, this is what they've done with the Godzilla franchise paired up with this crap? I can't judge.
Have you ever watched Hamtaro, though?
Yeah, I used to watch when I was a little kid.
There you go.
Yeah. But I've never seen any of the movies, which is what they paired this up with.
Well, they didn't because they never brought them here.
Yeah.
Men in Black 3.
Yep. Hey, they never knew that it was going to be rebooted at this point.
Oh, wow. It's like the end of Joss Whedon's Justice League.
By the way, there's a fantastic shot coming up. Her face looks funny there.
The helmets they have kind of make it look like Astro Boy or Mega Man or something.
Yeah, the helmets look so cheap.
I'd say Mega Man more than Astro Boy, but that's just me.
I'm no Astro Boy expert. Yeah. I don't even know what I'm talking about when I say that.
That shot. I love that shot.
There you go.
I think the effects blend pretty well there.
Justice League.
It ain't the twin sons, but it's certainly something else. She's having her Luke moment right there.
It is a good shot, though.
Yeah, I think it's a beautiful shot to end the movie.
Will she and the scientists get back to or get together and have a family?
We'll find out in Tokyo SOS.
I guess what will their characters be just show up randomly for like you know a few shots?
Well, no, I'm pretty sure she's the lead again in that movie.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, because it is a direct sequel to this one. Except with a lot of weird, yeah, Mothra stuff.
And that's so. The other thing, how it's like the Final Fantasy game, because most Final Fantasy games, they're their own unique worlds with unique characters, but then every once in a while, there's a sequel to some of them. Like,
Final Fantasy... Wait, you're saying that none of the, that 1-7 aren't connected at all?
No, they're not.
Shocker, shocks.
All the main numbers are not connected. It's like an anthology series. But what they do is there's certain characters that sort of are recurring, even though they're like different incarnations of themselves. Kind of like how in Zelda games that happens too. Like there's always a character named Cecil, what's his name? Starts with a C. Anyway, he's like a recurring character. He's like different iterations of himself. He always wears steampunk glasses, and looks like a mechanic. I can't think of his name, but it's not. So they'll reuse characters, and it's almost like they're alternate versions of themselves, or variants. Like in current MCU lexicon, it's like they're playing variants. But like, so yeah, no, they're all independent of each other. But then certain ones, like there's Final Fantasy 10-2, which is obviously a direct sequel to 10. And then there's also like 13-2 as well. There's a 13-3. Oh. They don't call it that, but they basically made it. So, yeah.
There was, yeah, 13 had three parts to it.
Right. But yeah, each one is also like a different time period. Like it could be medieval, reminiscent of current day, near future, or far future. Yeah, they're all different.
You know, I don't think I've ever watched these credits. I'm surprised by all these little things popping up. Mm. Makes me wonder if there's going to be a post-credit scene.
Well, maybe we should watch and find out.
I think there is, because I think, or something to that effect. I think they said that the director did the same thing with Magira's or Magira, whatever. Made like a post credit something.
Yeah, that was because it was the kid who brought the Megajaris egg out, and then there was like an earthquake, or he was in school, and it was Godzilla.
Yeah, then they did one for Final Wars too. See, I guess we'll find out. Maybe it was like a.
There's a sequel.
Oh, you fucker! Yeah, let's see. Maybe it's just a still image. Oh no, I guess. Wow, I've never seen this.
It's moving.
Oh, that's exciting.
This reminds me of some of the shots in, like, God of Monsters or whatever.
Oh, man. Can't believe I've never seen this. Fuck.
Oh, man. Y'all did... I don't think either of you watched the... what's his name? Peacemaker series?
Nope.
Don't have Crave.
Because it seems like James Gunn has a kaiju thing as well. Because there's the big monster in the movie, his Suicide Squad. I forget what the starfish
is. Yeah, Starro.
Yeah. And then if you watch the Peacemaker series, there's a creature, and it reminds me of the larva thing, like at the beginning of God of Monsters. Remember in the beginning of the movie?
The Mothra one?
Yeah. But there's something that looks like that in the Peacemaker series.
I couldn't even tell you what that was in like DC for in DC mythology.
It might be a created thing. I'm not sure. I can explain. It'd be spoilers for anyone who's not, if I started to explain it for people who haven't seen the series yet.
It's weird. Maybe I have seen this because this scene feels familiar, but I did not remember there being.
Feels like God of Monsters, I'm telling you.
Maybe I saw this many years ago and just forgot about it.
Do I come to dinner as well?
Aw, I kind of like that kid with the dad. She's a cute kid.
Yeah. works better, I guess, than the mom and the son, I think, in the previous film. Me personally, of course.
Yeah, and even though I find her super flat, I do kind of like her connection with Mechagodzilla. It's something, but...
Well, it's...
Wish I liked it more.
It's but... no Noah, Izumi, or Alphonse.
That was quite a lot of post-credit whatever.
2002.
Yeah, it was. It was almost like a deleted scene that they were just like, oh, fuck, we want to end it on that great image.
I mean, it's no different than like a Ghibli film where they'll keep, you know, the movie going while the credits roll.
Yeah, but they waited till the credits were over to give us that scene.
That's true.
So it really was a post-credit scene. But yeah, I guess predating the MCU again. But anyway, final thoughts, you guys. Maybe I'll go first. I'm a little hot and cold in the Millennium era just in general. And this isn't my least favorite, but it's one that I've seen enough from. I could just not see it again for like 10 years and be fine. It's a fine entry, but it's nothing special by any means at all. And yeah, that's all I have to say about it, really. So, Isaac next, I guess.
I enjoyed it. It had some, obviously, if the effects were decent, that's not true. I kind of like... As cheesy, melodramatic, maybe, you know, played out this point, overplayed by this point. I like the story. They were going for something. Could they have focused on it more? I don't think so. I think they stuck to it pretty well from the start. There was like a final, again, this is like a second attempt almost. Like if Megadryas was like his first attempt, this is his like second attempt. And I think he did a pretty good job here. I think he did a good use of, made a good use of Mechagodzilla, changed it up a bit. I don't think that's usually how they would do Mechagodzilla in the previous eras. Again, we haven't in this run of our, you know, kaiju films, I haven't seen any Mechagodzilla films yet. So this is the first time. Well, other than, you know,
oh wow.
The Battle of City on the Edge of Battle, in Godzilla Earth trilogy. Again, as far as I'm aware, this is the first time I've seen a Mechagodzilla, but I'm sort of familiar with the ones from like stuff I've heard from how he behaves and operates and past ones. But yeah, in this case, I think that I like the reiteration of this and making him like this, another member of the Godzilla species, like a weird dead Frankensteinian clone cyborg. It's weird. And I like it. It's kind of cool. So yeah, I would say I'd recommend this film that people watch it. You know, just as like, you know, if they're kind of bored one afternoon, it's like, yeah, watch this film. I think you might find it enjoyable. Other than that, Eric, what did you think of this film?
I kind of like it. It's been a while since I've seen the movies that directly preceded it, but just from my vague memories, things were just getting out of control, in those movies. Either just really campy or just I don't care or just too nutty in the Heisei ones. But I'd rather have this. I'd rather have them scale it back, go a little bit back to basics, as opposed to that stuff. So in that regard, if I was seeing this when it came out, I would feel like, oh, they're getting back on track again, is what I would think. And I guess I score Godzilla movies differently than I score other movies. Because on my Godzilla scale, I'm actually going to give this a 3, actually. Because there's a lot that are just like, man, different degrees of subpar. And this is not as bad as those to me. I'd much prefer it. Because I don't have too much to complain about, to be honest. With this particular Godzilla movie in the Godzilla context, I don't have too much to criticize. I think the fight's fine. It's a nice model work. I prefer city fights versus deserted island. I hate when they fight in a deserted island or deserted landscape. It's not fun at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'll just quickly make another comment. Yeah, I'm not saying that this is bad by any means. It's certainly not one that I would recommend to like non-Godzilla fans. If I was like, oh, check out the franchise, pick up Godzilla against Mechagodzilla.
No.
But as just another entry, it's perfectly fine. I've just seen it way too many times. But I guess we can move on to the kind of my main feature of the night. I guess not main feature, that's the movie itself, but the randomizer. Let's see what we get. Working. Super excellent. Working. Super excellent. Well, lucky for you, Isaac, we're returning back to the Show era once again. We've been getting a lot of Show era stuff, but we're going to be covering Godzilla vs. Gigan, 1972.
Ooh, yeah, okay.
We've only had the one Heisei film. I kind of want to get to some of that stuff eventually.
Yeah, weird. You could always trick the...
No.
Super X to... be, you know, go one way if you wished.
No, I don't play the fast and loose rules of Super X. You know, it's very precise. I don't want to jig it around too much.
Okay,
but enough. But yeah, Godzilla versus Gigan next time. Rock and roll, fun movie.
Hell yeah.
Oh, but thanks again, Eric, for coming on once again. Thanks again, Isaac.
My pleasure.
Yes, and any last words, Isaac? I suppose.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you for having me on, as always. Well, audience, ladies, gentlemen, those between, I must ask, do you feel comfortable if your friend was brought back to life somehow in a Frankensteinian cyborg manner? That's all I have to ask. Till next time.
You know how I have those fake Criterion covers for my entire Godzilla collection?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they are awesome, by the way. I'm not going to lie. I spent a lot of money on these empty cases. But anyway, because it's the whole entire Godzilla set from beginning to end. But back when I had bought all these, whoever makes them, on eBay, they never had one for the 98 Godzilla. But just recently, wow, I checked, and now they have one. So now I have a fake Criterion cover. I just got it today in the mail. I got this fake Criterion cover for Godzilla 98 and Godzilla the Animated Series. They made a fake Criterion cover for that as well.
Oh, man, that's funny.
And they made some other kaiju movies from the 60s that I'm not familiar with. So now I'm going to have to buy those.
How did you come across these fake Criterions? Because I've been trying to do that as well.
So when I bought that Showa set, you know, and I was like, I love the massive packaging, but I hate how it's so hard to like get the disc you want like on demand. That always bothers me with crazy big sets like that. So then I was just like, I wonder. Like first, I was just gonna get some blank DVD or Blu-ray like multi-pack cases, you know. But then yep. I was like, wait a second, I wonder. And lo and behold, somebody had made these custom ones that were specifically for the Showa. But then they did Heisei and the Millennium and the one we just did, the one that had the animated films plus Shin Godzilla.
Oh, yeah. Earth Trilogy.
Yeah. Well, it has its era name. I forget what the era is.
Oh, the Reiwa.
Yeah, exactly. So it's the Reiwa era. And then there's the, not only did they make all the Godzillas, they made all the core King Kongs. So they made fake boxes for like the full line of the main Universal King Kong movies from the original through Peter Jackson. What else, a King Kong? Oh, and then of course the modern era, I forget what that's called. The modern era of Godzilla and Kong.
Yeah, Monsterverse.
So I got all these fake Criterion boxes. And the boxes, they look they're fake, but they look so real because, like, all the description on the back is real. It's accurate. It explains all the films that are included. It explains some of the actual special features that are on the discs. It tells, it looks like just like a real Criterion thing with all the information and everything. And I have a whole bunch of these now. And I, like I said, I spent a ton of money just buying these empty cases and then buying the discs to fill the cases with.
Hey, fair enough. You know, whatever fills out the collection.
But they look really cool. All these boxes look really cool. And I have the Mothra boxes and the Gargantuas.
Oh, God.
And Rodan.
Rebirth of Mothra in a case like that. That's
just, yeah, they have the 60s case and they have the one for the 90s as well. I got the 90s case, God. And they just came out with the 60s one. I got Rodan.
Solid gold. Deal.
I got them all because they're so pretty to look at, all of them. And you know, the original box art for most of these movies I just talked about are just like complete garbage, especially like King Kong Lives or whatever. It's so nice to
hey, I love that.
I bought it, yes, but I'm saying the box art's garbage, and I'm saying it's so nice to put it in a Criterion case.
I enjoy that schlocky box art on the Lives one. That's some fun trash.
I'm telling you, if you saw these in person, these things are gorgeous. The one for the Showa it's modeled after the same Showa art on that. But these other ones, I don't know where they sourced all these images from. No idea.
Oh, but
I'm sorry. They called Godzilla 98 the TriStar era.
That's have you ever, Caleb? Have you yourself ever wanted to like have? At least, maybe not a like fake Criterion cover art, but like, would you? There's probably some films you're just like, I wish this had a Criterion cover, like Alien, for instance. That'd be cool to see like a Criterion cover art for that.
Oh
yeah, it would be. I don't know. I kind of like having the original one. It's part of the because I own so many copies of certain movies. I would hate to have like a fake version of it, because then I'd be like, it feels inauthentic.
I just like looking at it on a shelf.
But no, I get it for having, you know, I like looking at all my old Godzilla DVDs. I got a nice little section for them. Even ones that I now have on Blu-ray and could easily just get rid of the old discs. I just like having them there. So, but yeah, to get this started,